What's up? This is Chico Bean.
Hey, I am Carlos Miller.
And I'm DC Young Fly from the 85 South Show.
Hey, when you're on the move and you can't check our show out on YouTube, you can still check us out on the Apple Podcast app, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What about Spotify?
Yep.
Google Podcast?
Absolutely.
Alexa?
Hell yeah!
Hey, tune in every Friday, listen, and subscribe to the 85 South Show.
It always makes sense.
Oh. Chuck,
all right. You don't like Birmingham?
I just
how about Houston?
I did 8 shows in Birmingham. It was love down there.
Houston Improv?
Yeah.
I like the Houston Improv, but
like Chuck,
man, ain't nothing like you. Baltimore too.
DC? Yeah.
Yeah.
But Oakland was my, like,
you like Tommy T?
Them motherfuckers up there.
I ain't never been to Tommy T.
That San Francisco market, that Bay Area, man. Listen, man, them niggas come out and they have a...
I ain't never been to Tommy T's. I want to go.
Them folk got me confident and doing like...
You know what? All the old ass comedy club,
they just don't ride them up.
Oh, well, see, that's a part of the game that you probably have more insight into.
Yeah. He got that real
you know
thing.
You know the game from that perspective, but us as just young niggas coming in the game, it's just that energy that y'all created. Because, I mean, I got the question about the show I heard you throw, nigga.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get him.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that improv Cocoa Beach with Miami?
Yeah, and Coconut Grove.
Coconut Grove. Uh-huh. Yeah, with the front porch on that motherfucker. With the actual dope.
But I did Houston Comedy Club one time. I made $100,000 one week.
How many shows you did?
$100,000.
How many shows?
How many shows?
Well, I think I did 15 in that
month. 15?
Yeah, they'll drop it off in there. They'll drop it off in
there. They get it.
They go.
They get it.
They go. Let go!
Speaking of let's go, welcome back to the 85 South Show. Oh my God. Oh my God. Bruh, see, we got a real true OG in here with us today.
Talk your talk.
I'm talking about he really laid the blueprint out for a whole lot of this comedy shit.
Yo, OG.
My OG's OG.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about, he done put it down from the real Def Comedy Jam to the real Comic View.
Real Comic
View.
I'm talking about the real shit.
Come on, man. Had one of the most historic comedy clubs ever.
Talk your shit.
Atlanta native.
Keep
funny as hell every time you see him.
Uh-huh.
Your auntie want to give him some pussy.
Uh-huh.
The skinny girls used to let him hit it.
What?
None other than Mr. Bruce Bruce.
Let's go! Nigga!
What's happening, baby?
Now get your ass up, nigga!
No, you gonna let that. Let me
whip
your ass
up,
nigga!
What? We gotta get up, Shit, I'll sit your ass down. Hell no. Shit!
See, that's exactly why we wanna use our platform, is to show love to the people that we love while they can hear us giving it.
Yes, sir.
I like that, man.
And for the shit that you did, the stories I heard before I actually ran into you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I ran into you, you was exactly what they said that you were. And he was like, young nigga, they ain't gonna fuck with you. That's the first shit he said to me. He said, I've been hearing your name. You funny. Niggas ain't finna fuck with you. But when he had his room, and them niggas who didn't fuck with me didn't show up, and he said, Los, I got a few dollars for you. I'm coming all the way from Marietta to the South Side.
Mm-hmm.
One of the only niggas I ever seen can do the whole show by himself in the crowd, don't say a motherfucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
559.
Yeah, that's
the
one I heard.
Before we even get to 559,
uh-huh,
I got a whole bunch of questions I want to know. Like, because it's a lot of questions that people don't ask the OG.
Right.
I always heard this name coming up in Atlanta in the comedy game, but I only may have seen a picture or two once or twice on Facebook. Disco Duck.
Disco Duck, man, he was funny. He talked in a duck voice, like a duck.
Like Donald Duck.
Yeah, he'll come up to the girl and talk to him like in a duck voice.
No.
And they fall for it.
But they say this nigga used to destroy.
He used to rip. He live in Burnsville, Georgia right now.
Man.
By Griffin.
I got to find him, bro, because it's like,
duck.
It's so he's many Disco Duck stories. You know how the game
man.
Is.
Yeah.
Man.
So, like, being as though you started, like, you were one of the pioneers of the game that we are able to benefit from now.
Right.
Like, who are some of the guys that, you know, you came up with that you knew? Once you got into the position that you was a headliner and the man, who are some of the guys that you got your hands on that became superstars?
Okay, let me tell something about the headliner thing.
Come on.
When I started, they made me headline. You know what I'm saying? They would never, ever, let me feature for him. Like, no, he need the headline. He need the headline. Because I was bringing the noise to him. I was doing funny stuff. I used to do stupid stuff. Like, I call my partner and say, pick me up at the corner, walk and don't walk. You know what I'm saying? Everybody like, what is he talking about? They didn't get the joke. Walk and don't walk. That's any corner. But headliner, I've always headlined since I started. Even the guys that was paid to get to headline show, when I get to the show, they put me up last. And I wasn't even getting the money, but they was getting the money. I was loving the game so much, I didn't even care.
Right.
Let me get it. You know, I've been doing this professionally 32 years. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So what drove you to the game? Like, you know,
because
everybody
say
comedian
don't
really pick.
What drove me to the game? My ex-wife. You know what I'm saying?
Real?
Yeah, man. She told me I couldn't make it. I'm like, what?
Ooh.
I looked at her, I said, I see you on TV.
Okay.
So if you ever see me say, hey, I'm talking to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now I went through a band, man. So I'm a lot older. People don't realize how old I am. But my oldest son is 40.
Mm. Damn!
And my baby boy is 37. My daughter, 35.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? So
they been fucking forever.
Oh, I'm laughing. Damn. Oh, like you're tearing the sidewalk up. You
know? Damn. Like you're tearing the sidewalk.
You know, I'm laying down, son. You know what I'm saying? But all that's over now.
Right.
My wife might get
that. Right, too.
But yeah, man, but it just, you got to love it, man. Right. You know, it's love. I've seen the times, man. I never, ever thought about walking away. I just kept doing it, man. When I first started comedy, I used to open up. They give me $50 a week, come up, introduce the host. Hey, y'all, coming to the stage, the host, Rex Garvin, Cold Funk, I'm Bruce, look here. Y'all check it out, we're gonna have a good time. They paid me $50 a week to do that. I was loving it. I was there on time, I wasn't late or nothing. Then I started featuring, and then people started calling me. It used to be clubs, they called Club Vegas. Dude said, man, I'll give you $100 a show. I'm doing 3 shows tonight. I'm like, for real? So I'm thinking, you're gonna give me $100 a show and I make $300 in one night?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can do that, right. You know? And I was working for Frito-Lay Potato Chip. You know, I was selling a bag, eating 3 bags. You know what I'm saying? And I thought about it, man. I'm working 15 hours a day, but this dude gave me $100 a show for about 15 minutes per show. It didn't balance.
Mm-hmm.
Comedy is where I went, man.
Right.
And I love it. You got to love it. And the key thing is, man, when you do comedy, when you entertainment, get your business together with your taxes, everything, because they waiting and they looking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Keep all that straight and don't trust nobody. They need to show you what they're doing on your tax. Show me what you doing mm-hmm. with this paperwork so it won't be a problem at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So they coming at you, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You making money, you're a young man, these clubs want to add. So let me tell you a little secret. Now, you guys doing clubs, I know you are because I hear you out there. And if you schedule to do 5 shows, you sell out 5 shows, okay? Now, they say they want to add some shows. That's fine. Do the added shows. But with the 5 shows, the club have already made their money.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So the added show should be for you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You should get 100% of the door there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have made their money with the 5 shows.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So get the money. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They going to do it.
Yes. Gotta be,
and if they say we can't do it, they say I can't do it either.
Okay.
But
nice.
10 minutes later, they going to change their mind.
They going to change their mind.
Because if you selling the club out, they making money.
Exactly. Right. Before you even get there.
Food and alcohol.
Right. Hell, that's bonus because the hell, like
that's
you said,
they already all made that their extra. Money.
Exactly.
It should be. Money.
And that's where it should be. And if you y'all young too, man, get that money, man.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Sure
how long did
it
take you to learn those aspects of the game? How long were you doing it?
Oh, I got pimped off for about the first 5 years.
Oh.
You know, I was going to Chicago for 14 hours a week. I thought I was getting it mm-hmm. until I talked to one of my boys, Joe Torre. You know Joe Torre.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I asked Joe, I said, man, what they pay you in Chicago? He said, man, I got $20. I was like, what? Wait a minute. And I was doing Wednesday through Sunday back in the day.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
Getting.
1400. I thought I was getting it, man. I wasn't doing nothing but getting pimped.
Right.
So when I went back, I had to get some Caucasian people to represent me.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry.
It's hard. Representation's important.
I hate to tell you, man. It's hard to deal with us. You know what I'm saying?
Right. On the business
yeah,
side.
Yeah, on the business side. Yeah, I know you're not here, brother. Come on, man. I don't want to deal with your agent, man. Like, well, you don't want to deal with me.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You got to handle the business. You know, I need a friend. Like, I need something. I don't need no friend. I need to get this money.
Yeah, right.
And if you sell tickets, get that money, man. You know what I'm saying? I done did well.
Right.
I done did well. I would not complain.
Don't.
So what about the Common View situation? Like how that came about? Because I used to lay in bed and just sit there and watch your ass all day.
Now, one thing we got to understand about the way God works.
Uh-huh.
when it's for you, it's just for you.
Yeah.
And when it's your time, it's your time. I supposed to host it the year after Samoa hosted.
Right.
And they'll always introduce the new host, but they gave it to Don Curry. I was pissed off, but it wasn't for me.
Right.
But then, the year that I did host, I got the most money to anybody. I had the best year to anybody. They paid me $500,000 when they was paying everybody else $50,000. Mm. I got $500,000 plus $50,000 extra to buy clothes.
Ooh.
And shoes.
You
understand what I'm saying?
So you the bad.
You understand? So what I'm saying, what's for you is for you.
Nasty.
So
$550.
Yeah.
Nasty.
I'm talking about, I'm like, they're going to pay me this much money to host? Are you serious?
Yes.
I do it. And I came, you know, I had the suits made. I was, a lot of preachers, you know,
yeah.
How's everything? Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, they seen the suits, so I had to get a lot on my way to
the old
preachers.
Nigga smoking
the old players.
When you did the joke about the old player, the cigarette killing his ass.
I had a problem like that.
But he won't put him down.
You need to cross, but that ain't what it is. Yeah. Cigarette about to kill him. Daddy, you need to stop smoking. That ain't what it is. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but, yeah, man, it was the best year for me. Then I came back, and it was BET Comic View, and that's what I was doing. Then I came back and did the Caliente the next year.
Yeah.
And did it. Yeah, after that, I did BET Coming to the Stage.
Yeah.
Remember, I was hosting that. It's almost like Sunday's Best now. Right. It was the exact same platform. And I did that, and it did well. But, hey, man. I did Def Jam twice, did Apollo 5 times. I mean, it's been good.
Yeah, tell me about the 559.
The 559, let me tell you something. You had every hustler, every pimp in the city to come to the club.
Right, show right, start, right, up, right around the corner from here, too.
Show didn't start at midnight. You get to the club at 11 o'clock, nobody's there. 11:45 is packed. You can't get in there. Show was over at 2 o'clock. We leave and go straight to the Blue Flame and watch the girls box.
Hello, you say you get there at 11 o'clock, ain't nobody.
Nobody in the parking lot. 11:45, you
that
can't get in there.
That motherfucker swole.
You can't get in there. I'm talking about on a Tuesday night. You got 600 people in the club on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And every hustling pimp in there. And,
this was for years straight.
Yeah.
I heard
like
they
10
used
years.
To. 10 years straight.
10 years straight.
Throw money at
that
you.
That was his
oh, my God. And I'm talking about it was... You know, everybody want to outdo everybody, so they get $6 Moet, $6 Alizé over here.
Right.
Everybody want to, how many they get? They want to get, and we just, I mean, it was just
selling. And this is at peak Atlanta.
This is at peak. And on Tuesday night, the bar did $60,000 on a Tuesday night. That's crazy, man.
And this in the 90s.
In the 90s. Came out 90, 96, 97, 98, 99. We done had everybody there. Snoop Dogg, 8-Ball, MJG, everybody been there, man.
Let me ask you this. Yourself removed. There's a lot of careers got made at 5-5.
Oh, yeah.
Yourself removed. Who had some of the best sets that you saw personally?
I done seen people come and had great sets, and I done seen them bomb.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was going to get to the bombing.
Yeah,
bomb,
I done seen,
I done seen a lot of niggas. I done heard a lot of niggas quit comedy after the 5-5 now. That was right. It was right before my time.
Yeah, man.
Right before. I ain't come to 05.
I seen Ricky Smiler coming in and destroy it with Ladera, and I seen him come back and destroy it.
This before he got on TV.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he died a great death. You know what I'm saying? That's my boy. I love him. He died a great death.
Oh, like,
you
know I'm
talking about he was. I mean, he was like this.
Like Spartan.
He was like this. I seen JB Smooth come through there and rip it.
Mm-hmm. They wasn't around to hit him, JB Smooth.
Oh, yeah,
I'm talking
Smooth.
About when you in the comedy club, it's like every nigga come. Man, you don't want to see JB Smooth in this motherfucker. JB Smooth kill this motherfucker.
JB Smooth, and then you know a lot of. Comedians like from New York and everything, they come up, oh, ain't no problem, man. I did Peppermints in Jersey. This ain't then. I said, brother, this is not Peppermint in Jersey.
Right.
This 559, you did it, they ain't got nothing to do.
Right.
I seen them blunt, bomb. But then this comedian named Jay, I don't know if you know Jay. He's
what's
from Jersey.
Oh, Jay from Jersey.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, hell no.
He says, Uncle, count the money. He said, he don't say 100. Said,
100.
Yeah, 100, 200, 300.
What I give you?
200 or 400. That was Jay. He ripped it.
Yeah.
Ripped it. When they listen to me, they will smash it. But
right.
If they don't listen, they arrogant, they bomb every time. You know what I'm saying? Chris Tucker been through that, man. Mike Epps. You know, of course, Mike Epps, my boy, I started him in the business
right.
Back in the day. You know, Mike used to open up for me.
Right.
That's what you know I'm saying, though.
That's what I was about to get. Since you brought that up, you know, tell me about your crew. You had a
you
crew.
You coming up your young crew.
Oh, man, I had Small Fry. You remember Small Fry?
Small Fry.
I did Small Fry open up for me. Mike Epps, man. Mike Epps came to me and he said, look, man, I watched every comedian. You the baddest dude in there, man. He went on the road, man. I'm the one to make Mike audition for Fridays.
Word?
Yeah, he had moved to New York. He's like, man, they want me to audition. I was like, what you waiting on? I said, they looking for somebody like you. You know what I'm saying? He called me back about a week later. I got the part. I said, you kid. But Mike a bad dude. He's a good dude. And that's my little brother, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
But Small Fry, Black
she
boy,
used to
Nard.
Fuck shit up.
Who that?
Small Fry.
Oh my God, yeah. She what? I used to write for her. She went Christian. She started doing all Christian
clean comedy.
Stuff, you know, yeah. Clean comedy. But a Christian, I don't know why they do that. They drank and smoked everything.
Yo, man, what's happening? It's your boy DC Young Fly. And it's that time of the year again, y'all. The bubble teams are making their final push for a bid while the top seeds are preparing for what they hope is a long run. Now, DraftKings is giving all customers a free shot at up to $100,000 in total prizes. All you have to do is head to DraftKings app and make your picks right now. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code 85South to get a free shot at a share of $100,000 in total prizes with DraftKings Tournament Seeding Pool. Plus, don't forget about Golf's fifth major this weekend taking place in Florida where DraftKings will have even more money up for grabs. DraftKings is safe, y'all, secure, and reliable. So you can deposit, withdraw, and get all your funds at your convenience, okay? Now download the DraftKings app, head to their free-to-play pools page, and enter DraftKings' free $100,000 tournament seeding pool. That's promo code 85South to get a free shot at $100,000 in prizes. Only at DraftKings.
Hello, everybody. My name is Carlos Miller, and I just came to spread a little black love because I hope you having a good day, because this is a good day sent. That's black love. Since I love you so much, I want to give you my discount code, my personal discount code, and go and get 25% off. L-O-U-S. Kind of look like love if you write it fast. But if you use my code, you'll get an additional 25% off if you go to the Good Day Sense website and buy you some of these dope-ass candles. Man, that shit really do smell like black love, though. Like, after black people been holding hands with some cocoa butter on. That's love. Use my personal discount code so you can get you some of these nice-ass candles. And have a good day with a Good Day scent. 25% off. L-O-U-S. Black love. One of my favorites because I love you. And you're black. Even if you're not black, the code still works. That's the beautiful part about it. It's crazy. I'll see you next time.
It's ain't Christian. I get to read it. Well, you got it.
That's a whole different lane of comedy.
You got to understand, the church is probably the easiest to make laugh than anybody.
Right.
I don't know if you ever did Christian comedy. Right. I have. It's so easy. I mean, it's like, you can go out there and say, ooh, I'm so tired. Ah! Oh, he's a genius. You know what I'm saying? But, you know.
559 is the heathens.
Oh, five,
that's the real thing. Make the demons laugh.
So what was your, I know you said you loved it, but I mean, what was your motivation? Like, what was the reason? Just,
when I went on stage and I saw people, I could make people laugh. I've always made people laugh in school, right. Class clown, all that. But when people just start loving you, man. And you know, if I had social media back in 88, 89,
mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it'd be crazy. But you just got to love it. You can't stop. You know, I asked Denzel Washington one time. I said, what made you just keep on? He said, I never stop.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so if you stop, you'll never know you can make it. So just keep going, man.
Yeah.
You got to love it. Because I'm telling you, the platform that you guys got right now, it's off the chain. It's actually better than the... Blue Collar Comedy, you know, Larry the Cable Guy, and Runway. It's actually better. It's actually better. So use it and ride that wave as long as you can.
Let me ask you this. What's been your experience with the quote-unquote mainstream rooms or the mainstream side?
I want to tell y'all something about that. Don't change up your style because mm-hmm. you're doing a mainstream or you got a white audience. One thing you got to understand, funny is funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who it is, black, white, Latino, Asian. If it's funny, they're going to laugh. I can make a baby laugh. I don't care.
Me too.
I'm
what?
I'm talking about.
There's a nigga at my show baby. With no ears.
But you ever notice people? Oh my God, how do he wear glasses? He got no ears. How do he wear glasses? He got contacts like a fuck. Right? You know what I'm saying?
That's but, the kid book right but, there. But how do he wear glasses?
Don't switch up. I've seen guys shift gears. Because it's a white audience.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? And they go out talking different. Hey, guys, how you doing? Like, who the fuck is that? You know what I'm saying?
And I notice a lot of white people, when they come to a show, the comedian is black, they want to see the show. What would it be if it was a black crowd?
Yeah, long as you're not disrespectful.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Oh, boy, look at how these crackers hit. No, you can't. You can't.
That's the first thing I'm going to say. Yeah, now I'm just
crackers. Yeah. You know, Doodoo Brown used to do a joke. He said, crackers, crackers, crackers. It just clears my sinuses. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, just go out and just do your thing. Be yourself, because that's what they want to hear. And that's who you are.
Right.
That's why they came to see you.
See, you a legend, and, you know, we talk about this amongst each other all the time, but, you know, the motivation, to, like you said, to keep doing it. Have you ever had that show where you was like, man, this ain't it?
Yes, but they didn't know it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
See, you know, I'm my worstest critic. You're probably your worstest critic. Yeah, you know when your show ain't hit right. You know, people love you, but you're like, yeah, I know I could have did better than that. You know what I'm saying? So it make you go back to the drawing board a little bit, you know, and that's okay. But once you get where you're so comfortable, you go on stage, get a loss.
Hold on,
you should always have fear.
Right.
You should always be a little scared.
I say that all the time. I get nervous every time before I go on stage.
It's the shame.
And the day I stop getting nervous is the day I retire. I done
it all. The day you not nervous no more, you done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You too. That's too confident. You always got to have it. And don't do comedy because there's so many women out there. And it's so, how many women out there? You go out there and do your best dick and pussy joke. That ain't what it's about.
Right.
It's about being funny, because the ugliest dude in the world got money and got a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you ever notice that?
Mm-hmm. Say one more time. You got your mic in my ear.
Okay.
Yeah, we got Family Dollar tape.
What happened?
Family Dollar tape.
Even the mic nervous. The mic, like, I want to hear this shit.
No, no,
it's all right here.
It's cat fault.
Mm-hmm. Cat nervous, man.
This tape ain't shit.
Shit, wet ass finger, man. Wipe your fingers off, man.
He got on long pants today. His body don't know how to react.
I ain't never seen Bruce.
He ain't got his shorts on. His legs confused. This is making his body warm up. But his nigga finger sweating.
His legs got to breathe.
There we go.
He got red hands.
Hey, man, welcome back to another edition of the 85 South Show.
You did.
Come on, man. I don't know where you been or what you doing in life, but we got none other than Bruce.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Putting us up on game.
I got a real question, right?
Yeah.
Now, we all comedians and everybody got their own different lane and genre.
That's right.
What's the process of when you coming up with a joke? You know, a lot of comedians are like, I remember that shit. That's great.
I do. Now, a lot of people can write a joke.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
I freestyle it and go on stage and do it. But the key thing is make sure you record it. You know, if you're going to do some new stuff and just try. That's how I write. I go on stage and just do it. Like one time I went on stage and slipped up and almost fell. You know, big joke like me fall. I did 30 minutes just on me falling. You know, almost falling. So always, some people can write. Like Dun D.C. Curry, one of the best writers I ever seen. He can write jokes out on paper and go up and do it. But I'm totally the opposite. I go on stage and just freestyle. It's two things going to happen. It's either going to work or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if it don't work, work on it and make it funny.
That's
you know what I'm saying?
Sometimes it's better if the shit don't work.
Sometimes it is.
Because you can come out of that. It's all in about how you come out the joke.
Right.
Like, to me, I like to see the comedy that happens between the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So well, Deion Cole is the best at it.
Yeah.
You know, he got the paper he had on stage. Yeah. When the joke don't work, he said, look, that ain't working. But I'm right there. So he knows exactly what he's doing.
He done mastered.
Yeah, he done mastered.
I used to come on stage, like, when I first started, come on stage with the pen and the pad. And I was like, fuck no, this is a crutch. I'm going to get used to that. I'm not even training my mind. So now, even when I try new things, I see the new joke come off of improv. So I, even though I record my set, I go back home, listen to it, write it down. But when I write it and think it, it's like I continually, you know what I'm
add to it, add to it, and it become a huge joke.
Right.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Now, I got to ask you, get loose with it. Get loose, bro.
Uh-huh.
All the skinny hoes let Bruce hit.
Come on,
now.
He talking about
Now, you know, with us being, you know, we all are comedians, but we all love the music too. We all intertwined. Like, what was that process like? Did you know the Yin Yang Twins, or was that? Just
I did
like
know them. I knew them very well. Like Outkast, like
so
the group Outkast
so
is like one of the best groups out that come out the ATL, and anything Outkast ever did. I was always in it. You know, they did the movie. You all right, man?
I'm so tired of your goddamn middle school haircut having an ass, but I'm on your ass. Right.
So you telling me?
We had a haircut in the entire school year. They glad, but your parents don't love you.
You better have one on.
Yeah, he got that central book.
Look, bro, you can't go on a field trip.
Let me see the pack. Let me see the pack, fly.
It's etiquette. Ugly.
Okay, that's it in your pocket. It keep cutting in and out. Can you put it in the
supposed to dress for success. Ugly. What's wrong with it?
Go. It keep going in and out when you sit on it.
Whoa. Oh.
It keep going in and out when you sit on it.
Damn.
That was
when you sit on it.
Right there. Whoa.
That was
crazy.
That was right there.
You a fucking wild guy, man.
Send that man home, man.
We good?
You need to leave.
You need to leave.
Whoa. All right, we back. Okay.
What if you have
to act? Yeah, but you know that, like, you know, with the music getting shouted out in a rap song, that's a lot of niggas that would love to have that happen.
Oh yeah,
but, like, that was more than a shout out. That was like direction.
Man, the nigga shouted y'all out and didn't even shout me out.
Who
did that?
Well, I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
But you say Outkast?
Yeah, Outkast.
And everything they did.
Everything, like they, Idlewild. You remember?
Yes,
Idlewild. I was in there with Patti LaBelle,
mm-hmm.
and then they did "Who's Your Caddy,"
mm-hmm.
and I was the bookie. Then I was in the video "So Fresh and So Clean."
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You remember the video?
So fresh and so clean.
So fresh and so clean.
Yes, clean, clean, clean.
Yes,
the iconic.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man. But in my, and then Ying Yang. So well, look, Too Short did it first and Shake That Monkey. He's like, oh, the skinny girl, that Bruce, skinny.
Yeah.
Then Ying Yang came back with Lil Jon, said, get crunk with it, get loose with it. Like Short said, let Bruce hit it. Right. So, you know, it's just love, ATL love, man. That's how it's done.
Did any ladies come up to you like, look, I know you don't know me, but...
All the time.
I got some pussy for you.
Well, it's always the big girl. I mean 400
you
pounds.
You don't listen.
Easy. You know what I'm saying?
You can't get up in
now. No. He be like, what's up? Nothing. We can look at this workout tape or we can, you know what I'm saying? You know, but they be on me, what's up?
Right.
Trying to look sexy. And I'm like, no.
Right.
I ain't no offense, but ain't nothing I can do with you, baby. Somebody need to be an athlete. So it might as well be you. You feel what I'm saying?
Most definitely.
But I found that the bigger girls are more confident.
Most definitely.
Like you get the fine girl, they most of them, I'm not talking about all of them, because I don't want nobody to get offended,
mm-hmm.
but they be so insecure. You know what I'm saying? I was in, I had to open up for Fantasia one time. I think it was Greenwood, North Carolina. I never heard of this.
Greensboro. Probably.
Yeah, it was Greenwood. I never heard of it.
Oh,
it's, I get there, this girl, 500 pounds, easy. You know what I'm saying?
She said, easy.
She come up.
Probably she what said, she sounded like, easy.
She said, bro, you know, my old man got mad because I came to see you. I said, you came in like, yeah, but I'm telling you what I did. This is what she told me.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I fished in some collard greens, mm-hmm. macaroni cheese, canned yam, poached out, and fried chicken, cornbread. Then I sucked that dick.
Uh-huh.
You see, I'm here, don't you? I said, well, all right then, girl. And she bought a shirt for him, her, all her kids and everything. But she was just confident. It was, she didn't let her size determine who she was. She was confident, been with him for 25 years.
Big girl got the weird pussy, so I
yeah.
Until now,
and then you like the weight as well.
Yes,
something you just said. I want to ask you about, like you said, I don't want to make nobody offended. How do you feel about the change that has happened from when you started and the shit that was offensive then versus what's offensive today?
You can't say nothing.
Oh yeah, but I say it anyway.
Fuck you, mean.
You know, so I just say it. You know, I don't go the gay route
right.
anymore because they sensitive, you know what I'm saying? But I do a set about old preachers. They use old words like punks and bulldoggers,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Punks and bulldoggers, you know, because the old Baptist preachers are doing it. I'm talking every punk and bulldoggers, you know what I'm saying? And then I do stuff like that, and then, you know, because I'm like, who thought of the word bulldogger?
Right, right.
What is a bulldogger? You know what I'm saying? Because old guys say that, you know, his wife living for a bulldogger.
You know,
you know, what is a bulldogger? You know, so I do jokes like that.
Yeah, but he's got to go there get a bulldogger.
You know, but them bulldoggers, you know, them old players, yeah, you know, he go, you know, his wife go with a bulldogger and he's the pump. I'm like, what? What is a bulldogger? I be trying to figure it out. But that's the old school saying, you know.
Right.
But I mean, like, I got grandkids and stuff, you know, and they love you guys. I mean, they love it. My grandkids are super smart. My wife, my daughter don't have it no other way.
Right.
And I encourage everybody to learn everything you can about everything far as technology is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because it changes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But just learn, man. You got kids, right?
Yeah, I got two of them. Eight more on the way.
You got kids?
I got a daughter, 12 years old. Yes, sir.
I got a son.
Yeah, that's what it's about, man.
Beat these niggas.
And that's the way I try to, I kind of stay in tune with what the changes are, because she growing up with it, so
right. Oh, yeah.
I let her guide me when it comes to the social media and a lot of stuff, because, you know, it's just, she embraced it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I learned, like...
And just handle your business, even with the baby mom, if you're not with them, handle your business. Take care of your child. You know what I'm saying?
You got
to do it, you know, and most guys, she over there with some dude, so what?
You over there with a the bitch.
There you go. You know what I'm saying?
You should be if you're not.
Yeah, it is.
My name's Hudson. And I approve that message.
But look, I appreciate the foundation that all the OG, even my brothers, you feel what I'm saying?
Because like,
I jumped off with the social media, but then I went back to go figure it out, because this is what I need to do in order to be a stand-up comedian.
But see, the thing is, with old school comedians like myself, they a lot of them are really bitter about social media comedians. So what? They're winning. Mm-hmm. So what you should do is jump on the bandwagon, get on social media, and start doing your stuff. Because you're like, I've been doing this for 25, 30 years. So, okay.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Nobody give a damn.
Nobody know your old ass.
Go back and do your homework. Get on social media. Do your thing. You know? And I respect them.
What keeps you embracing the new school? Like, what keeps you embracing the new school? Like, you know, being as though you are a legend, and you could just as easily be one of those guys who's like, man, fuck these.
But my thing is always helping people. Right. I always, like Mike Epps and you know, when Cat Williams was coming up, and Kevin Hart. So we talk to Chris Tucker. We always just encourage and stay prayed up. You got to pray. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you do it. Right. You need to pray. Right. I pray before every show. You know what I'm saying? Because you never know what happens. Just like you was telling me earlier, you seen a dude get stabbed in a show. You know, I don't want none of that. You know, I stay prayed up, man.
You got to stay prayed up.
You know what I'm saying? And just stay focused. You know, don't focus on what nobody else doing. Why he get that? And why he don't matter. What's for them is for them. What's for you is for you. And it's coming.
Man, I heard a lot of stories about you hitting the road, man. Them $100 shows.
Oh, yeah.
$25
shows. Oh, yeah, man. You used to get them, man. But if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
Right.
You know, before I started comedy, and before I started really hitting the road hard, I was in Atlanta, and I was doing different clubs here. I was making $2,500 a week in Atlanta.
Exactly.
I'm like, what? I can take care of my mama and my mama. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So it was just, you know, almost, I ain't doing it for $100. I will. I do it for $100. End of the week, $2,500. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. But one thing you have to do as comedians and actors and what we are, we have to stick together. I did shows before. It was me, Earthquake, Cher Underwood, and other people. And the promoter tells us that he got everybody money, but he's not going to pay Earthquake. And I'm like, well, hold it, player. You're not finna have no show here.
Right.
Because Earthquake is finna fly in. Did you tell him you're not going to pay him? He said, no. I said, well, you're not going to have no show. He had already paid us. So, you know, you're going to have to pay Earthquake if you want your show to go on tonight.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we always have to stick together with each other. Don't let nobody get you, man. And that theater is full. They got that money.
Right.
Don't let nobody fool you.
Now, let me ask you this. Of all the time you've been doing comedy, what's your favorite joke of yours and your favorite joke that you've heard from somebody else?
People like when I do the guy whistle when he talk. And it was it's a preacher, you know. And he talked like this. He said, see, the Lord has a thing that he's trying to do this. Really big. Motherfucker, do you have a flute in your cup? You know what I'm saying? And another one I do, a stuttering joke that's not stutter like geek, but the guy hold his words when he talk. You know what I mean? So that happened to me when I worked for Frito-Lay. I was servicing a drugstore, and I walked in. I said, how you doing? He said, purr, 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 good. I say, if you playing, stop, because I laugh in your face. You know what I'm saying? He said, pretty good. He stuttered, but he held his words.
Right.
And that's like two of the main jokes people love to hear me do. Right. You know, and I do a lot of stuff on relationships and it's real quick stuff. Like, I open up with a bang. Like James Brown always said, open up with a bang. And I open up with something like, hey, you know, every city I go in, you see crazy stuff. And it's a dude I back with false teeth with braces. So... So people gonna think like false teeth break. I say you don't want his teeth to shift. Motherfucker, they false.
Right,
you know
what
I'm saying? So you open up, always open up with them. Get them, grab them. When you grab them, you got them.
Right.
You got them. You know what I'm saying? So, and then I end my jokes now. I don't I don't do any joke anymore. I used to. I just walk off stage. You ever hear me do that? Mm-hmm. So I don't have any joke. I tell real life stories and make them funny. Mm-hmm. So I'm not like the average comedian. I do peace, thank you, God bless, and walk off stage. I don't do that. I just walk the fuck off.
Right.
And they look at me and I just walk the fuck off.
Right.
That's the joke.
That's the joke. Yeah. 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 Just ended it.
You gotta leave. Sometimes yeah. You just gotta leave.
Get the fuck on.
Just walk the fuck off, man.
Just tell the folks bye, man.
You ain't got shit else to prove.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. That's one of the things that I know that you have always, that I learned from you when we first started.
Because I was around. I was around. He didn't pull me to the side. He was like, don't, if you got them laughing and you about to
get out of
just
there.
Get the fuck up.
Yeah.
And he always used to tell me when I come to this club, sometimes don't do all your time. Yeah. You got to make them want you.
That's right.
Right.
It's a lot of shit.
You
got to
know when to leave. Like, you got to know when to milk a joke and when to stop. You got them going, leave. Just like most comedians back in the day, they used to say, hey, man, I got a show I want you to do with me. Now, if I come to you and say, I got a show I want you to do, quite naturally, I'm going to make sure you're taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
First thing they say, how much you paying? I said, holy player, you ain't been seen walking by a TV, much less on TV. Oh. You understand what I'm saying? So if I ask you about a show, I got you covered. I'm going to make sure you're straight. I make sure all my people are taken care of. I talk for them. Guys that host for me and feature for me, I make sure their money is straight before we even get there. That's what I do. I'm old school, so.
What's the longest time you ever done on stage, though?
I did 1 hour and 45 minutes one time. That's too long.
I did about 2:10.
Man, just
nigga want to get the fuck on.
Just doing give them 45 minutes. Let them go. You know what I'm saying? Let them go. Yeah. They scream and laugh and walk off. Peace, thank you.
I said, I picked that up from Carlos, and knowing that he got it from you, he definitely don't, you know, keep the game away. But he was like, man, you got to know when to go. If you got them, and they sometimes it's just like. That's it.
Another piece of game he picked up, he gave me a backstage. He said, don't never talk over your last.
Right.
Like, let if they laughing.
Take your time. When they laugh, just take your time. Let them laugh.
Give yourself a laugh, even if
it's not the time of the joke.
Mm-mm. Then do your joke.
Keep going.
Don't never step on your
last. Just
let them laugh.
See, that's the thing you learn, like, in the comedy game. It's like, when you get that applause break. You know, a lot of, like, new comedians don't know what that even is.
Right.
Like, if you ripping them the motherfucking TV set, and they...
You ain't got but five,
but if they give you that applause break, that motherfucker on the corner like this, keep going. Yeah. Cut it. Just keep going.
Sometimes they give a standing ovation in the middle of your set.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I be looking for them drink moments. I'm like, yeah, that's the time for the drink right there. They laughing. Let me sip, because I'm almost fainting up here.
Yeah.
Hey, man. We brought up 559, but like I've been hitting that backstage where it was just all the old players in there.
Yeah. That was it.
But not like the ones who was
all my shit.
Like these was the old players that had new Cadillacs and owned property and shit. Yeah. But they would be up in there and really just be on some, you know, like the club pack. They ain't rushing the show. They waiting on him to get there. Yeah. And the show don't start till he get there. Like, if he be the only one, they don't give a fuck. It's like, everybody else like, he must be one of Bruce's friends when he comes back.
Right.
But it was certain niggas who can come in there and make the motherfucker turn the TV down.
Yeah. Talent did that. You know Talent out of New York?
Yeah, I know Talent.
He came in and ripped it one time. He just ripped it.
That's the thing about that sports bar comedy. If you can make them niggas stop playing pool or watch TV for a minute,
you got them.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
We recently lost a legend, man. Tell me your favorite Tyler Craig story.
Tyler Craig, man. I remember when I first met him, man. Tyler was extremely funny. Tyler was a hairstylist. People don't know that. But he did hair. And he got into comedy full time, man. And his storytelling was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
He was very creative, you know what I'm saying? And
gluing the dog to the dog house.
Oh my God, man! Tyler was he laughed at the joke, and people thought this guy be drunk. And I'm like, he really is,
he is, but not like you think.
But he's really drinking, but he's having fun.
He having a good time
doing it. You know what I'm saying? And the moral of the story is that was his whole. That was the joke. And I miss him.
Yeah.
I really do, man. He was good. And, you know, a lot of comedians out, like Bernie Mac and been gone about 13 years now, Bernie Mac. And
give us one of your Bernie Mac stories.
Oh, I worked with him twice in my life. Twice. Let me tell you, man, this was in 1990. Bernie Mac was Red Hot. That's when he was doing Ain't Scared of You, Motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Right after. Mm-hmm.
And he came to Macon, Georgia, and sold out 5,000 seats. And the feature couldn't make it. The dude's, hey, man, Bernie Mac, he opened up for Bernie Mac. I said, I'll be there in 20 minutes. I know it was an hour ride. You know what I'm saying? But when he said Bernie Mac, you know what I'm saying? I went down, and I was on stage, and I saw Bernie Mac with his arms folded looking at me. And when I come off stage, he said, motherfucker, where you from? I said, Atlanta, motherfucker, you're funny. You know what I'm saying? And he showed me a lot of love, and I worked with him one more time in Columbia, South Carolina. And he was hosting the show. And but Bernie was a bad motherfucker. They can say what they want, but he stole that Kings of Comedy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody was good. DL was good. That's my boy, Cedric Steehart. But Bernie...
He took that one.
When he did the milk and cookies.
He did the milk and cookies. Yeah. When he did the goddamn...
Milk and cookies. What a goddamn milk and cookies.
What?
He said, I couldn't get none because him downstairs.
Man, this is a joke. I know you don't do in your set because I saw you when you was hosting one night. You was talking about, nigga, them goddamn rib sandwiches. When the goddamn rib sandwich went from 50 cent to 75 cent.
And that's a true story.
I know, I said it's so goddamn funny. I know it ain't in your set, but I heard you when you was just riffing and talking shit on stage.
You know, back in the day, they sell rib sandwiches over in Bryan City. Uh-huh. Meat hanging off the bread. You know, back in the day, meat hanging off the bread. My uncle pull up, how about the rib sandwiches? Guy said 75 cents. That was back in the day. Marco said, you done lost your motherfucking mind. They got them all day in Eastport for 50 cents. My daddy said, let's drive out now. We drive way to Eastport, they close.
Now you ain't got
$6 by the time you get back to Bryan City, they close. Oh, man, let me tell you something. Y'all think I'm lying. Back in the day, man, this is in the 1965.
Oh, shit.
We got my mama. Our two sisters and brother were living in an apartment. I was the only boy born. The rent was $49 a month.
Good question.
Right? They went up $20. My uncle called a meeting. He said these goddamn crackers have lost their back.
He called to me. Who ain't going to meet for the family or the whole family?
He said, we got to come up with $20. He said it was $49, it went up to $69. Mama said, these crackers are long things.
Right.
Somebody got to get a second job,
motherfucker.
And they were dead serious. I was standing at the table.
Said,
man, that's a lot of money.
Right.
Ain't
no job paying
to it. I was like, 65, that was a lot of money.
What?
Oh, shit.
Money was long back then.
Oh, my God, man. You ever walked in on your parents, fuck?
Yeah. Nah, yeah. My dad was dead, so it was a...
I'd have come up many times. My daddy never stopped fucking. Yeah. Close the door! Close the goddamn door!
Did you get used to it, nigga?
I mean, let me tell you. My daddy can
I remember I seen you doing, I don't know if it was about your daddy or somebody, I think it was like your son. You said your son came up to you like, daddy, what am I supposed to do when I take it to do that when my dick hit the water? He was like, God. He was like, yeah, man, nigga, what the fuck is like this nigga?
After the show, the window, where's your son?
Got that water splash.
Oh, shit.
Man, you said something else, too, that stood out to me. You said you do the whole show by yourself. Now, I only heard, like, of two people that did that. You... God damn.
Can I get a snack? Because y'all keep fucking up.
Bruce Mike.
You got it back.
Let me chisel on it, man.
All the way up.
Is it
all I keep thinking about is some chisel.
Bruce, it's all good. No, good, man.
Oh, shit.
You good?
Yeah, won't you go crazy?
You mean a comedy show by myself?
Yeah, I mean, because I heard
it was plenty of nights where at the 559, where didn't nobody want to go up.
Yeah, you did it. And then I heard of Earthquake doing it at Uptown, where he would do the whole show, like come in by himself, do the whole show.
But what they were doing at Uptown, though, they was milking the bar and food. That's why Earthquake did so much time to make more money on the food and drinks.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, at Uptown, they had a host to come up, then featured in the headliner, and Earthquake be hosting. And then he bring the feature up, then he come back up and do about 10 minutes, then the headliner come do an hour, then Earthquake come up and do an hour behind him. Mm. But they was just getting the money for food and drinks.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you was, your 5959 was people didn't want
to
go.
They give it to you, boy. They would give it to you.
What's the worst night you ever seen somebody catch it? You ain't got to say who it was, but what's the worst?
I'll tell you who it was. Let me say, you haven't been caught it. But I remember I got threatened one night. You know, I was Jonah dude. You know, you couldn't walk to the bathroom with me. You know, you walk to the bathroom, I'm going to tell your ass up. You know what I'm saying? You walk past the bathroom, one dude said, I'll kill your fat ass. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I'm from the west side. I'm from the Bluff. Fuck you, I'm raised in the Bluff. 2-3 Joker whispering in the ear. As a show, he like, hey, man, ain't nothing but love, man. Ain't nothing but love. West side, we stuck together. We didn't play that. You don't threaten. I call everybody first cousin. They're like, hey, man, you don't threaten first cousin, man. It's all in jokes. But the dude shoot, I'll kill you for that. No, you won't, player.
Not in here?
No. Brother got a trunk full of guns. You know what I'm saying?
Right on the West End. In
the West End. Right on Astor Street.
No, what,
right?
No, 5-5-9-4?
Yeah, Astor and...
shit, two streets over.
Two streets over.
You didn't know that?
Hell no.
They just recently tore down the building.
Yeah, I think they built
a family. And the sound was out there for a minute.
A family dollar now, I think that's what it is.
They turned a 5-5-9 into a family dollar.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Man.
But I'm born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. Grady, baby.
You hear me?
You know
real
what I'm
Atlanta. Yeah. See, I ask real him Atlanta. All the time about that. This is my Atlanta consideration. Yeah. Yeah. So, tell the Atlanta question I come
this
to him.
This is the most Atlanta nigga you'll ever meet, man. Mm-hmm. Lay it down to him how it was before he got here. Like, give him some of the history on this city.
Before this shit was legal.
Right. Oh, Freaknik was off the chain, man. Mm-hmm. Oh, brother was shipping cars in from different cities to do Freaknik. From Michigan, New York, California. They were shipping cars just to do Freaknik. I seen 559 do $1.7 million in 1 week on Freaknik weekend.
$1.7 million?
Weekend. Damn! How much the ticket was? Oh, man, it was $100 to get in. It was $300 to jump the line.
Woo! In the 90s?
They was
paying. This is peak drug dealer Atlanta.
They were paying. Oh, they were getting money.
When crack was... Yeah. You can get a nick the heart this big.
I mean, that was I thought that was the 80s. They were still doing it like that in the 90s.
Yeah, $100 to park your car.
$100 to park. That's my problem.
I
park my car for $100, nigga. This Chico Bean spot. Nigga.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm telling you, this money in Atlanta ain't new. This shit been here.
Oh, they been doing it, man. They been getting money.
So being a staple like that in this city, like you done seen so many transitions happen. Like, what was your favorite time in Atlanta?
Every time I'm here, man. I mean, growing up in the Bluff, you know, the Bluff used to be really nice, but I was, you know, I was a kid. I fucked with everybody.
When you got there before it got bad, man.
Yeah. But I fucked with it. I was bad when I was there, you know. I mean, when I say I fucked with everybody, I fucked with everybody. Like, right. Niggas be on the corner singing, I run between and slap all four of them motherfuckers. You know, but I was like, I'm about 10 years old, because I want them to run at me. You know, you don't right. get, they be on the corner, ooh, God! I slap shit out of them. And I used to have a pocket full of rocks.
Would it sound like me? It's like,
they be like, what the fuck? By the time they look up, I'm gone. Right. They run at me. So I used to keep a pocket full of rocks.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In the whole part. Hit a tree. I climb a tree and throw them at the motherfucker. Because they catch me and beat the hell out of me.
Right.
You know, I didn't care about the beat down. But I get in a tree. Pop! Pop the head with a rock.
So you climbing up trees?
Like a damn squirrel. I just climbed up like a squirrel.
Crazy, man. So give us a real Atlanta story. So, because I'm 28, might be 29. I've been knowing the Bluff, being the Bluff. That's probably the hoodest part on the west side.
It's always been the hood. It's always been the hood.
What's the crazy shit you've seen in the Bluff?
Crazy thing I've ever seen. I was raised on James P. Broad.
It was
Chestnut then. It was Chestnut back then. But it was James P. Broad. And I've seen the police pull a car over and then pull another car over. And the dude they put in the police car got back in his car and drove off. Because he was snitching.
Mm.
He set him up to buy the drugs. And then the police let him go after he got the real people they wanted.
Mm.
You know, they do stuff like that.
I done seen brothers
walk out with the police and act like he fan of the fly. He pointed at Jokers. Who's selling dope? I've been in the barbershop on Kennedy Street and James P. Brawley. Do walk in and say, hey, man, y'all want to buy a typewriter with a TV? We're like, what? Typewriter with a TV? He done stole a desktop computer. Look, what you want for it, man? Give me $25. Brand new. Hey, man. I seen a dude with a little bit of video camera. Crackhead said, man, I got one just like that, but it bigger. It got a two on it. He done stole the camera off the Channel 2 news truck. I see the white guy panicking. Look, I done lost this camera. I say, wait a minute, you get it back. Might cost you about $40. He said, I pay $100. I say, He got it right there. Dude said, I sent it to you before. He done stole it off the Channel 2 news truck.
Yeah, well, just like
this
that.
The kind of stuff you see in the bluff.
For real.
Brother walk out the bushes on you. You be at the bus stop, this mother just come through the bush. What's happening? Fuck you been, man. You know, this is what you see, man. You know. So, you know, the bluff is like the hood. But now they... Hood.
They're trying to get it right.
Yeah, they're trying.
They doing on the edges.
Oh, yeah.
But they ain't coming on the
inside. I seen a white guy running down Bankhead. I said, do you know yet? It's a great neighborhood. No? Okay.
Uh-huh. Go down two more blocks.
You'll see how great it is. Oh, yeah.
How many shows have you had that was just full of rednecks?
Oh, I went to, check this out, man. When I first started years ago, I wanted to do some work. I had the agency to book me. It used to be called the Comedy Zone. The office was in Greensboro.
That's where I started. They was in Greensboro. That's where I started my
career.
And
I walk on stage, and man, I had been doing comedy about maybe 8-9 months.
What year you started?
Oh my God, 88, 89. And I walk on stage, and I'm telling my jokes, and I'm doing all my face expressions. You know how you do your face expressions. And he's sitting there like a motherfucker. I'm like, the fuck wrong with y'all? Y'all blind? The motherfucker said, yes. I like, God damn. They done sent me to a all blind show. I'm doing my face expressions and everything.
No.
I said, fuck around with you. Y'all blind? Dude said, yes. Matter of fact, we are. I said, God damn.
So they got me like funny, that funny.
At the Blue Room one night.
Yeah.
The Blue Room in Blind.
Yeah.
We had two shows on Friday night. First show, all blind motherfuckers. They got the whole bus outside. Second show, they had two buses. I said, who the fuck y'all call?
But the most redneck show I did was...
Two shows. I don't know.
What scared me one time, I went to an area, it's called Edisto Island. Mm-hmm. It's in the Carolinas. And I walked out, and every guy had a big beard. You know, white guy.
Yeah.
I said, oh, shit.
ZZ Top.
Yeah, all of them. One guy said, go ahead and do your drugs, brother. Shit, we catch them. And they were good, but I thought they was like redneck, but they loved it. They love. That's why I say funny is funny.
So, yeah, have a good time.
Yeah, have a good time. Do your thing. Don't switch up, man.
I think I went to Buffalo, New York one time.
Buffalo, New York.
That was my first time ever. I looked through the window. I said, man, I probably seen about 10 brothers. I said, but y'all sure I'm at the right spot? You feel what I'm saying? I'm like, man, hey, give me the white people. Fuck with me. When I went out there, I said, man, nigga. Them folks were like, ah!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I started at the Comedy Zone, and I used to MC on the weekends every Friday and Saturday, and it was all white people.
Now, when you started Comedy Zone, was it in the brick building or was it in the plaza there?
It's in the brick building.
Yeah, so years ago, it was in a plaza, and next to it was a big pool room. It had like 200
Arizona
pool
Peace.
Tables. Yeah.
It's still like that.
Yeah.
It's still like that, yeah.
You just put the bricks on
so what, how it work is, nigga, you come to the Comedy Zone, and then after the Comedy Zone, they give you a free ticket to get in the Arizona Peace.
Yeah.
The Arizona Peace, they over there, I'm talking about Cotton Eye Joe. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe. Them motherfuckers over there doing a white people electric slide, nigga. I'm talking about, it's real, bro. So you learn that way, for real. You learn like a motherfucker. That's crazy.
What advice would you give to the up-and-coming comedian?
Key thing. Do your own material.
Ooh.
Stay creative and work your social media. Because now managers, agents, they don't even want you now unless your social media is built up. But if my social media is built up, what do I need with you? Mm-hmm. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Chris Tucker was the smartest one ever. Chris Tucker got an entertainment lawyer. He didn't have a manager or agent. His lawyer acted as manager and agent. That's the only person he paid. Mm-hmm. And I took Chris Tucker in 1995 and 96. Okay. And that's when he had did Dead Presidents, and he had did Money Talk. Mm-hmm. He ripped it. He got money.
Went crazy.
Yeah.
He Atlanta native too, right?
Yeah. Decatur. He's from Decatur. You know, Decatur. Columbia. Mm-hmm. Columbia Drive.
Over there,
you know
what I'm saying?
Atlanta?
It's over there.
Yeah.
Used to be over there at Bigelow's with it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Eastside got a lot of hood. At least I got a lot of hoods.
Okay.
That would make them so busy. West side is Atlanta.
But the west side is Atlanta. The east side is not.
You got Atlanta. A little bit, a part of Atlanta is the east side, but then you got Decatur, Lithonia, Stone Mountain. You got, what's the other shit? The S one. They talk of Georgia. All
Covington.
All the niggas.
Conyers.
Yeah, then it get deep in Conyers.
Let me tell you a little secret. See, back in the day when everybody was living on the west side and they made money, they start moving to Decatur.
Tell them when everybody, why was they on the west side?
See, west side, was just all black, but See, back in when I was at Washington High, you know Washington
Talk
High.
Talk your shit. Right? Ask me.
Nah, I graduated from Washington High. Now,
I'm from
Washington. Back in 77, you know, I'm keeping some real stuff. Washington High had the baddest band in the city.
Talk your shit.
5,000 in the band. There used to be so many band members. When we played a team, the band used to sit on the home side, and we had to sit on the guest side because it filled up the whole stadium. Damn. Back in the day. Baddest band in the world. And then everybody, we played Southwest Cab in 1978, and it wasn't a brother in that school. Southwest Cab was Southwest Lily Cab. White. You know what I'm saying? But then everybody started moving to Decatur. Mm. When they moved to Decatur, now Southwest is all black.
All black.
Now they got the biggest band, probably one of the best bands. Mm-hmm. But in 78, it was all white.
Damn.
So, you know.
So that was motherfuckers started to start, because that's how we felt like, especially like Lithonia and all them. We like, damn, they got big ass houses and they got the bad bitch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, West Side.
Oh, yeah.
That bitch edgy.
Oh, you got the hood in
there. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
What?
And West Side girls
are look like me and you. Bro. Yeah. That's wrong too, bud.
Like
fucking each other. Get out of my face. That's wrong too.
Like Jet West is like with a wig.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. They got some little cues around the way, but, yeah. You know, we were trying to get to the East Side.
But the West Side girls are help you beat the child support system. Oh, yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? That's what you need.
Let me just run out the mall and shit. Yeah, I went to 32. Yeah. I got all of them. Like, they being crazy. Then I ran out of $500. That's what you doing.
Got detergent in there.
The seat, $15.
Paper towels, toothpaste. You got everything.
That's great. You
gotta have a
She'll tell you when she get out of the car, keep the car running.
Mm-hmm.
Old scamming head West Side chick.
Yeah.
Know how scary that'll be? You go on the first day with a bitch, you say, pull up this store real quick, keep the car running. She run out with a handful of shit.
Nah, you know how scary that is when the bitch run to your car and she ain't tell you?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, shit. I know what this is. Bullshit.
West Side girls, they'll help you do a drive-by and everything.
No,
and she'll do the shooting.
Mm-hmm. In the trap. I'm telling you. The West Side girls is food. West Side girl be more gangster than nigga, what?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Crazy.
Yeah, you got to be careful over there, man.
Yes, sir. Girl tell you to pick her up over here. Keep going.
Oh, I know. I mean, that's every hood, though. But that's good to know. It's in Atlanta. The West Side is the way
man,
you
the
go.
West End. Not fucking with
you. Meet you at the train station.
Deal, no.
Yeah, but if you go on the east side and you get the chick, bring it to the west side. Don't stay over there.
Right. Don't stay over there. East side. Bring her over here and let her know, like, yeah.
It's like east side niggas can smell when a nigga who ain't from the east side.
They can.
Over there. You
they
park can. Your car, then you look out there, there's 100 motherfuckers, like ants or something.
God damn, where
all these niggas come from?
But that's how I always used to be, though, until, see, now it's starting to get, like probably, like, the past 8 years, like, motherfucker really just been kicking it. Like, I ain't never had no east side friends. You feel me?
Yeah.
I never had no east side.
I never did either.
That's why I be telling you, west side niggas don't go.
Yeah, like, you told me that. You
like,
was
like, now, like, I got east side partners. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my boy Troy. Like we be kicking it. Like, but it's like some east side niggas still ain't got west side friends.
Yeah,
like,
y'all remember I was on the east side doing something. DC called me like, hey, nigga, you straight? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I mean, hey, you on the east side, but just right, make
east
sure
side
you
was no joke.
I mean,
you had
get busy.
You had East Lake Meadows when they were. You had the McAfee boys. I mean, they wasn't no joke. Man,
you know what I'm saying? Busy too.
But then you had them Hollywood Road brothers, the Bankhead niggas.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
That whole little area?
Oh, yeah, Bryan City.
Come on.
They used to run me out of Perry home. I used to talk so much shit.
Come on, man.
You know, it used to be a little area that had a bunch of plums. We used to call it Plum Valley. We go over there and pick plum.
Mm-hmm.
So Perry home, what y'all doing over here, nigga? You know, we baghead, nigga. Go ahead on. I started talking to y'all. Got on my bike and tried to run, ride out fast. Dude ran and caught me. I'm on the bike. Ha, did y'all go? Where you going, big boy? God damn, did you run and catch me? Did you run and catch me, man?
You got it.
Took my plums and everything. Give me goddamn plums, nigga. Give me goddamn plums. Nigga took my plums. Fuck all y'all. Y'all still talking. I didn't even ride a bike no more. I pushed the bitch. I went on. This motherfucker caught me running. I'm on a bicycle. Pair on. Well, no joke,
real,
man.
That shit's real.
Man. This shit's so cold.
I know, man.
Just being here and being able to talk that shit, you got to come back. This is just part
man,
one.
Man, I want to come back, man. I'm proud of you one. Guys. I mean, I'm proud of you guys. And I don't want you all to lose focus. Fuck what people say. Fuck what people say about you. Mm-hmm. Keep moving. Stay focused. When you're in this business, you got to have tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. Look straight. Fuck all that on the side. Look straight because you're going to the top. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
Appreciate
it, OG.
Yeah. It took us a minute to get you in here, but now you know where we at, man.
All you got to do is call me, pimp.
Hey, man, drop me your social media.
Hey, right, man, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at MyBruceBruce. Mm-hmm. Tell me your likes and your dislikes. If you don't like me, tell me. I can fix it. You know what I'm saying? But if you like me, tell me you love me. And I love you, too.
Hey, man, well, there you have it.
Yes,
another episode of the 85 South Show, the Legend Series.
The Legend, man.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, man.
Get love, baby.
Let's get it. Shake it up.
Hey, yeah. Shit was always.
Put this one on the, in the barbershop wall.
God damn, man. This nigga hit me.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, mama.
Oh, you got one.
I gotta find me another goddamn.
I brought y'all some of these t-shirts.
Too. Bet.
I need to smile. My boy.
There it is.
Come give some of those t-shirts. Pass them out, man.
Chill. One more time. Chill. Come on again. Chill. Don't stop, nigga. Chill. What's up, man? How you living? Okay. Come on.
You ain't gonna play him.
What size is this?
I didn't know I was that.
Okay, this me. All right. Oh, that purple. You say nobody got that purple.
This is her. Mr. Green. Pleasure to meet you, man. Yes, sir. Mr. Yeah.
You got another nigga to do construction?
What's going on, man? Chico, man. Pleasure to meet
you,
bro.
I'm trying to number love, man.
Chico. Yeah, this mine. Most definitely. Okay. I'm going to put these right here.
You want to see the play? You got damn tan. That shit is nice.
Brought up?
You a bad motherfucker, man.
No, you
okay, bet.
I'm telling
you. Wow.
Who was around when you started? Who you started?
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. It took Ali Green. Well, John Witherspoon.
Ooh. Come on.
Ronaldo Ray.
Ronaldo Ray! I love that shit, by the way. Yeah. Ronaldo Ray!
That was my man. Mopo, rest in peace.
Yes.
I had some haters, too, now.
I know.
Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be the Comeback Theater here in Atlanta. You know, it was big. It was out of California, out of L.A. And there was a host from Chicago named Chris Charles. Just, when he laid his eyes on me, he hated me.
Right.
Hated me from the jump. Every week I come in and sign to go on the amateur night, he would never put me up. Never. That happened like 6 months. I could have easily quit and walked away. I went to him like a player. I said, hey, man, you going to put me up or what? Or do I need to go to the boss and let him know what you're doing? He put me up after the feature and the host one night. Then he brought me up nasty. Got this fat motherfucker coming up here, got high bars in his pocket. Everybody like, ah! You know, he's called him the chocolate hippie. You know what I'm saying? So, I said, you know, I'm from right around here. You know, when I come, you look like a chocolate sissy.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody never said that back to him. He ain't gonna try to compliment me and show me you funny. I said, look, man, you don't like me and I don't like you. We're gonna keep it like that. But I'm gonna keep it real with you. When I come inside the list, put me up, player.
Just like that.
Just like that?
Just like that.
But now, where's he at now?
Who knows?
You feel me?
Talking
somewhere being you
know
a chocolate sissy.
But you know, we're talking about people like Jamario, just Jamario. You know, y'all
before
you
even
Jamario.
Before we even go on, bro, tell these motherfuckers how cold Jamario was at his prime.
He was a bad dude, man. People didn't realize what he was, but Jamario was bad, and he never was scared. Mm-hmm. He always wanted to go up there. Put me up last. And he'll do a song, he'll sing a song. They put the blue lights on him and everything. He was just that funny, man. And Rex Garvin, he was called himself Cold Farm, come out with an Afro jumpsuit, platform, 8-track in one pocket, Lil Debbie in the other pocket. Chicken wings in another pocket, yeah. Number four. You know what I'm saying? Real player.
For nigga had a mean ass clean bill with all that shit on his ass. His clean bill was mean.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of
we got just Mike, OG.
You need
okay.
To
yeah,
well,
OG,
we can't
have
you
oh, hell no.
Yeah, nah, this shit.
We jumping deep. Straight in.
We like to hip.
I know, right?
Okay. On the okay. What wrong with you, man? You all right? You straight? She never done on that flow, fool. You fish ass fool. No, you can't play no damn ball. Everybody out there can't play ball. Who the fuck you trying to impress? What's a sorry nigga?
Now they looking over you like, look at this fish ass food.
Not a fish ass food.
It's a fish ass food.
Watch it, sucker.
Watch it, sucker. Who you talking to, fish ass food?
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. All right, so we're talking about the early part of the game. I got to ask you this because this is it's another Atlanta legend, but it's more like a...